PC Panthers podcast starting right now. Thank you to everyone making us a part of your day. Today, we should be sending teams to the Final Four today and tomorrow, but we're not. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a big college basketball fan. So I am a big Duke fan, and I went to Liberty, who also right now has a fantastic college basketball team. Both of those teams were going to be in the tournament. Liberty was expected to be like a 12 seed. Duke, I think it's probably going to be a 2 or 3. Really kind of fell apart near the end of the year. So I'm just bummed out that there's no college football, but it's okay. It's all good. We've got a lot of things to talk about. I know a lot of you are now supplementing what would have been watching sports with listening to podcasts, and so I want to thank you all for all the support you've given me and for listening to us. There's a lot of NFL stuff still happening. In fact, I think it's the only sport right now that has anything interesting going on as we start to tidy up and finish up free agency, getting into the NFL draft. The story is that the draft is still happening, so I am excited for that. I think I've told you all before, the draft is like maybe my favorite sporting event throughout the calendar year. And I'm not joking about that. Like, there is nothing to me that tops the draft. I get all into it all 3 days. I'm into it. I love all of it. All right. So let's start off the podcast with this. There's a story from ESPN's David Newton that Teddy Bridgewater not interested in tanking. So here's a quote from Teddy. He says, "Man, I take pride in this," Bridgewater said at the suggestion of tanking, presumably for the right for the Panthers to draft Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Quote Teddy, "They told me I wouldn't play football again, and I did. They told me it would take 18 months to get back to my injury, from my injury, and I came back fast. They told me I wouldn't win last year. We won 5 games. I take pride in winning. Winning feels good, and that's our goal." Now, according to ESPN's David Newton, he goes on to say the Panthers are coming off consecutive losing seasons, 7-9 in 2018, 5-11 last year. Matt Rhule only has 1 year of NFL experience. I've criticized Matt Rhule for that. He was an offensive line assistant with the Giants in 2012. LSU passing coordinator Joe Brady, 30 years old. He's as old as I am. Youngest offensive coordinator in the NFL, and he's never called a complete game by himself. So all of this is true, what ESPN's David Newton is saying. Now, Bridgewater continued on to say, "I'm a winner. Everywhere I've gone, I've won. And I take pride in that. That's the reason I'm in games, to win. I'll just leave it at that. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm a winner and plan on continuing to be one." So let's break this down. Okay, one, honestly, I don't know why. I mean, this is not the only article out there about, you know, the Panthers aren't taking. Like, I don't even need to know. Like, I don't even know why we need to say this. I thought this was obvious. Duh. The Panthers are not tanking. Okay, first of all, Bridgewater signed a 3-year, $63 million contract. When that contract is over, he will be 30. Remember, he was a free agent. So Carolina had to go to Bridgewater and sell him on the Panthers. If the Panthers were in fact tanking, and if it were in fact for, presumably, next year's number one draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, this would mean that Bridgewater's career would essentially be over by the end of his contract. You tank this year, you're terrible, you get Lawrence next year. Even if Bridgewater starts next year, everybody's going to be wanting Lawrence to come in. Listen, Teddy Bridgewater's too smart to sign a death sentence. He would not have come to Carolina if there was even a whiff that the Panthers could draft Trevor Lawrence next year. All right, the second thing is tanking is dumb and it rarely works. And this is coming from somebody who is all about having an aggressive strategy when it comes to addressing your quarterback. And I've said before, if something happens this year, like I said this last week, if something happens this year with Bridgewater that indicates to the coaching staff he's not the guy, they should move off immediately and just keep drafting quarterbacks until they find one. I've always believed that when it comes to this position. It's too important in the NFL to not have the right quarterback. But I would never tank just to get a guy. Okay, first, with tanking, Cleveland has been the bottom feeder of the league for nearly 30 years, right? Like, they constantly have good draft picks, but Cleveland are, have always been, and will always be terrible. Because it's an organizational thing. It's not, oh, can you have the best draft pick constantly? No. It's about what, how functional are you as an organization? Now, remember the Colts supposedly tanked for Andrew Luck. Remember Suck for Luck? That's the one instance where maybe you could argue that it worked. But what did that get them? A few good years? A weak offensive line meant Andrew Luck was constantly getting sacked and eventually led to multiple years of injuries. And when they finally got the right pieces around him, he was too beat up to keep going. And he realized it last year in the preseason. I love Andrew Luck. I think he's a great quarterback. But did the Colts really come out on top by trading away assets and being completely terrible that they were lined up in a position to get Luck? No. Because they had to completely rebuild. That didn't work. You should always want your organization to win. For one, okay, what happens if tanking, what happens to tanking if Trevor Lawrence injures his ACL in week one and it ends his career? Now, that's not like, it's not a likely scenario. We're talking about a sturdy quarterback, doesn't have any sort of injury history, but it could happen. We all saw that what happened to Alex Smith, right? We've all seen these gruesome injuries that can end somebody's career. Now, again, not likely, but who in their right mind would risk a franchise valued at $2 billion on an unknown? And I like Trevor Lawrence. He'll work in this league. I would have no problem just betting my entire next paycheck on Trevor Lawrence being able to work in this league. But at the same time, I'm not going to tank everything I have if I'm the Carolina Panthers just to get him on the roster. Now, the third part of all this is the Panthers have a lot of needs, but that does not mean that they need to tank. First off, you have a dynamic player with Christian McCaffrey, one of the most dynamic players in the entire league. You have a franchise quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. The game plan moving forward is to fix up the offensive line and then just find pieces that fit the system. 2020 probably is not going to be a great year for Carolina. No. I mean, you've got Tampa Bay that I think is going to win the division. I don't know if they'll win the division, but it's going to be Tampa or New Orleans. They're both going to be great. You have Atlanta, where Dan Quinn is in a must-win situation with a very talented roster. I think that team's at least a 7-9, 8-8 win team. If not, I think they're going to steal this. I think they could steal the second wild card spot in the NFC. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Atlanta to win. So if the other three teams in your division are all that good, where does that leave Carolina? Well, it's probably not going to be a great year. But you can find positives in a 6-10, 7-9 season. And as long as you add pieces during next year's offseason, you're built for 2021. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not tanking. That's, we're going to try everything we can to win this season. But we understand that next year is going to be when we can start peaking. Because Brady's older, Breeze is older, Matt Ryan's older. Potentially, if Atlanta can't get into the playoffs this year, Dan Quinn's out, they're on a new head coach, Matt Rhule gets a year under his belt. There's a lot of things you could look forward to with that. But that doesn't mean you tank. Tanking is winning two or three games. Now, if the Panthers did decide to tank, this would set Matt Rhule up for failure. This is why I've never, ever, ever, ever supported tanking. I don't care what you think of Matt Rhule now. You may love him. And I don't care what Carolina's intentions are. If they give him a 30-year contract tomorrow and say, there is no way we're ever going to fire him. Okay, well, you go 2-14 this year, 3-13 this year. You follow it by another bad season. You really think Matt Rhule survives it? You really think you, a Carolina Panther fan, are going to be sitting there on your couch 2 years, 2-14, and then the next year you're 6-10, and you're like, oh man, I can't wait for 2022 with Matt Rhule. No, this year, guarantee you, game one, you're going to be criticizing his coaching decision. For whether or not that's right or wrong, that's what you're going to do. That's what fans always do. So if you tank, you are setting up a new young head coach up for failure. I've never been a fan of that. Look at Cincinnati this year, the Bengals. We know they let a lot of pieces go last year. Was it tanking to get Joe Burrow? Well, even if it was, Zach Taylor now has to win at least 7 or more games this year, or I guarantee you he's a goner. There is no way he's going to survive that. And it's a young coach. He's got a promising future. He might be a good coach at some point. I don't know. But what I've seen so far is Cincinnati looked awfully bad last year. So this tanking thing, it does not work. You can rebuild without tanking. And at this point in Teddy's career, he's not interested in anything other than winning. And he should only be interested in winning. The idea, the premise that Carolina should tank, listen, if you can't look at the Panthers bringing in Bridgewater as a sign that they aren't tanking, I can't help you. I mean, that was the sign. I thought Carolina might bring in, and I suggested, well, I would start Will Greer, which, by the way, I don't think this is tanking. But before they brought in Bridgewater, I said, okay, well, let's trade away Cam Newton. Let's start Will Greer. Let's see how he progresses through the season. If he works, great. You got a quarterback. If he doesn't, well, you're going to be so bad, you'll be right there. You'll be lined up for Trevor Lawrence. And that's okay. That's not trying to trade away pieces to be bad. That's seeing if something can work. And then if it doesn't, moving on to a new plan. Carolina went out and got Teddy Bridgewater. That's a sign that, yeah, we're not even going to let that simmer. We're going to go get our guy, and then we're going to build pieces around him. That's what that was. And that's what they're doing. They are not tanking, and they shouldn't tank. It's absolutely preposterous. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. Now, on the other side of this break, a very popular NFL executive, former NFL executive, actually, he's got ties to Carolina, used to be in Carolina back during the 95 expansion team. He had something to say, and I think he is completely off his rocker with this. So we're going to get to that. We've got all of that and more. We'll be right back. This is the Full Press Coverage Panthers Podcast. Welcome back in, Full Press Coverage Panthers. Thank you all for joining me today, making me a part of your weekend. You know, it's going to be interesting going forward because you've got all this COVID stuff and everything shut down. Until we get to the NFL draft, we're going to be having to find things to talk about. It's going to be an interesting few weeks. So keep up with us. We're going to do it. But we got two shows a week to plan. We've got no topics, and it has to be about the Carolina Panthers. So we're going to be praying for some news. We'll be crossing our fingers. All right, so there is an NFL executive that came out, and he said something this past week, and I just heard it, and I chuckled at it. It's so profoundly, I don't want to say dumb, but it is profoundly dumb. I mean, that's not sugarcoated. That's what it is. So Bill Polian came out and said that because of COVID, the Panthers are going to be worse off than they were during the 95 expansion team. Okay. No. But let's start there with no. All right. So number one, and let's not lie, COVID is affecting this Panthers rebuild in a way, okay? There's a mental component to Matt Rhule just started a new job. He's not able to work in his office for the first month, 2 months, however long we're in this. There's an April 6th date of offseason workouts. That's been delayed. So Rhule doesn't even get to see the guys on his team work out until the summer. Best case scenario. Like, best case scenario, he can't watch these guys work out until the summer. That's an obstacle to overcome, for sure. Bill Polian said this team is set back further than the 95 expansion team. No, 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 no. Okay, first of all, in 95, all they were trying to do was put a team on the field. Look at Carolina right now. You have a player like Christian McCaffrey on the team. You didn't have that in 1995. You've got a franchise quarterback. You didn't have that in 1995. The other thing is, look at what Matt Rhule is doing. This team isn't set back further than the 95 expansion team. Matt Rhule is bringing to Carolina players that he knows. All right, Robbie Anderson. Well, Matt Rhule coached him at Temple. Tahir Whitehead. He coached him at Temple. Keith Kirkwood. Played at Temple. Matt Rhule coached him and then went to New Orleans. Who he was coached by who? Joe Brady. Panthers offensive coordinator, then the quarterback's coach. Even Teddy Bridgewater was with Joe Brady in New Orleans. And a lot of people, we have not talked about this, but Teddy Bridgewater played against Matt Rhule when Rhule was at Temple. In fact, in 2013, Teddy Bridgewater threw for 350 yards, two touchdowns, and led Louisville to a 30-7 win over Matt Rhule's Temple. Now, I don't know about you, but I know coaches, I know athletes, I know how they think. I'm willing to bet Matt Rhule remembers that game really, really well. And it wouldn't shock me if in advising Marty Herney what to do with this roster and getting a quarterback, he said, you know, listen, when I was coaching Temple, there was this kid, Teddy Bridgewater, he's over at the Saints. I played, you know, I coached against him. We couldn't stop him. Like, he just lit up the field against us. I mean, 350 yards, two touchdowns, they scored 30 on us. Like, I know coaching against him. I know how good he can be. And we watched what he did in New Orleans. Let's bring him in here. I guarantee you that was because he knows Teddy Bridgewater. Look at what this rebuild has been about. It's been about two things. It's been about creating a culture. That's why they traded away Cam. Matt Rhule likes guys who are about the team, not themselves. Now, again, you guys may love Cam. That's totally fine. That's your prerogative. But Cam is really into Cam at times. And Matt Rhule is really into the team. He's really into Baylor. He's really into Temple. Now he's really into Carolina. And the players that are on his 53-man roster, he wants them all to identify as a Carolina Panther. Not as Cam Newton. Not as Christian McCaffrey. And that's, listen, if that's what you're going to do, that's okay. But Matt Rhule wants to build a culture. The second thing that this is about is it's about adding familiarity. Why is that important to Matt Rhule? It's his first, he's only been in this league 1 year before as an offensive line assistant with the Giants. He knows this is an uphill battle right now. So he's trying to add players who he has coached before who understand the league. I guarantee you they bring in Robbie Anderson, and his first call to Robbie Anderson after signing with the team is, hey Robbie, can you help me a little bit? Can you kind of tell me about, you know, the day-to-day of what an NFL player looks like and what your workouts look like and, you know, how you prep and all these things? Because I want to figure out, you know, how this is different from when I was coaching in college. I guarantee you he's trying to pick brains of people that he used to coach, he's familiar with, he knows them, they know him. That's what this has been about. The 95 team was just about putting together a bunch of players who could put pads and a helmet on. They magically went 7-9 because Bill Polian is a very, very good GM, and he's a very, very good coach, and he understands the X's and O's, and he was able to build that team. But if you look at what Matt Rhule is doing, this is not 95 at all. It's 2020. It's a different team. It's different players. It's a different culture. He's trying to do something different. And he's bringing in guys that he knows. Again, I don't know that this works. I don't. I like Matt Rhule. I like Joe Brady. I like Teddy Bridgewater. If this thing blows up over the next 2 years and the team is absolutely awful, like, it wouldn't shock me. But I don't think this team is set back further than a team that had never, ever played together before. I don't think you can make that argument. And a team that didn't have one real dynamic player on the roster. This Panthers team has Christian McCaffrey, one of the most dynamic players in the league. Now, if you want to talk about how COVID is affecting the rebuild, all in all, we don't have to be physically present for most things that we used to. Like, there's a lot of things we can do now we didn't used to think about. Like, last night, I was playing a game with a bunch of friends on Zoom on a video chat. We played Cards Against Humanity with each other. It was fun. And I told him, I'm like, you know, part of this is actually kind of better than actually hanging out because nobody has, like, it's 11:30. Nobody has to drive home. Like, there's, you know, it's kind of cool that, you know, we're done hanging out. We can just shut off the computers. Like, that, you know, there's some advantages to being virtual right now. There's a lot of things that Matt Rhule and Marty Herney can do that don't have to be in person. All in all, I mean, this is a big deal, but I don't think it changes too much of their day-to-day. Now, if camps and practices and preseason games, if they start getting pushed back, then I think you've got some reason for concern. But really, is this really setting the team back further than the 95 expansion team? No. That's a preposterous take. And I like Bill Polian. I think he's super smart. I think he knows his stuff. I just think that comment is borderline stupid. All right, let's move on to the last thing. I like to read a lot of stuff throughout the week, pay attention to a lot of the news. I sincerely hope that Herney and Rhule don't listen to the experts with all these mock drafts. I mean, first of all, let's think about this, okay? ESPN, CBS, Fox, I think, Yahoo, all these places are paying somebody to be an expert on doing a mock draft. I don't know how we got to a point where that, like, that's a paid gig, but, you know, whatever. It's beyond me. No judgment. I think it's weird. But then, like, ESPN tells Mel Kiper, hey, no trades in your mock draft. Well, what the heck? Of course there's going to be trades in the draft. Why can't he have... Oh, because it's too confusing. Like, who cares? It's not confusing. You trade. Just say, hey, I'm predicting there's going to be a trade. Pick three. The Lions are going to trade. Nobody cares. It's not confusing. Nobody's confused by that. Of the seven mock drafts that I looked at today, all of them, and I don't have to go draft by draft, but all of these mock drafts have Carolina doing one thing, and I think it's dumb. They have Carolina with their first pick, pick number seven, taking a defensive player. We've talked about this before. Outside of Chase Young, there is not one defensive player in this draft that adds a win to your win-loss record. There isn't. Go look at the guys in Vegas. The guys in Vegas are constantly looking at players' values to wins. They're looking at how many wins can a player add to a team. All right, now, little newsflash for you. Only once in the past 10 years, or only twice in the past 10 years, has there been a player worth more than one win to a team. J.J. Watt, with the Houston Texans, Ezekiel Elliott with the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the only times. You're looking at win-loss records, those are the only two players that have ever added a win to a team. And it was both one win. One extra win because that player is on your roster. Okay? There's not a defensive player in this draft who can do that except maybe perhaps Chase Young. Now, what does add wins to a team? Well, quarterbacks, number one. Okay? They're the only player. They're the only player that can add more than one win to a team, according to all these Vegas experts. And then number two, what adds more wins than anything else is what you put around that quarterback. The offensive line, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the coaching. Those are things that add to the wins. Now, we brought on Russ Baxter last weekend, who talked about how the defenses are what win the Super Bowls. And it's that old cliche of offense wins games, defense wins championships. But historically, if you look at the data, that's what it does. Well, listen, Carolina, this team is not winning a Super Bowl this year. Sorry, it's not happening. So adding a Derek Brown to this roster doesn't make any sense. Right now, all you're trying to do is, A, protect Teddy Bridgewater. He's your most important asset. Protect him. If he gets injured, you're screwed. You do not want him to get injured. You got to protect him. Okay. The second thing is put pieces around Bridgewater to elevate his game. Hence, that's why you bring in Robbie Anderson. Now you've got McCaffrey. Now you've got Robbie Anderson. Those are two nice pieces. If you add a receiver in the draft, now all of a sudden you've got some weapons for him to throw to. But you got to protect him first, give him pieces second. And then once that is put together, then you start focusing on the defense. Now, there's a lot of nice pieces in this draft defensively that can start and contribute. but none of them significantly change any offensive coordinator's game plan. Like, I love Derek Brown out of Auburn, but there's not one offensive coordinator in this league that looks at Derek Brown's tape and says, man, we just have to stay away from his side of the field. Why? Because every one of these NFL teams has 11 NFL starters. Derek Brown's a starter. He'll be a good player. Eventually, he might be a star 2-3 years down the road. But he's not right now. Now, there are a lot of offensive linemen available early in the draft that I think could significantly help Bridgewater. There's about 10 receivers, all of which I think could change the dynamic of the offense. But the game here for the Panthers draft is quantity, not quality. I said this last week. Carolina has a lot of holes to fill. One defensive end, one linebacker, one corner isn't making a difference if you can't fix the secondary or linebackers. I mean, look at the Detroit freaking Lions. I swear they picked a cornerback like in every single one of their drafts the past 10 years, and they always have a top 10 pick. Like, you can only add but so many cornerbacks to a roster. Unless you're drafting a player that you think day one significantly helps Bridgewater, you have to trade back in the first round. That's the game plan here. It is not that complicated. And I love Isaiah Simmons. I love Derek Brown. I love all these guys. They're all going to contribute in this league. But Carolina is not one defensive end away from being a playoff team. They are not one linebacker away from being a playoff team. They need two defensive ends. They need a linebacker. They need a cornerback. They need a receiver. They need they need to fix the offensive line because Bridgewater is going to get sacked. They got to get a tight end because now Greg Olsen's gone. And it's not panic mode. It's not reset button. It's not worse than the 95 expansion team. But you do have a lot of holes that you have to fill on this roster. And picking, and there's not going to be a player at pick number 7, especially defensively, that I think changes it. Now, there's going to be a lot of players at pick number 7 that other teams may want. Okay? New England may very well want to move up to pick number 7. Indianapolis, depending on what happens with the rest of the draft, I'm telling you, if Tua is somehow sitting out there, they may want to move up to try and sit him behind Phillip Rivers for a year or two. There's a number of teams that may move up to pick number 7. So you've got a pretty valuable draft pick here, which is why you trade back. They're all going to give you more in value than what that pick 7 really is worth. So if you know that going in, you trade it. This is not trading McCaffrey, a player that's proven to work. This is trading a pick where you look. Go look at these, by the way. Go look at these first-round picks. I saw something the other day of the 2015 first-round picks. All 10 of them are not playing for the team they were drafted by. All top 10 picks of, I think it was the 2015 draft, are not playing for the team they were drafted by. I mean, like, that's absurd. Now that's a bad year. Absolutely. But historically, first round picks only hit 50% of the time. So historically, it's a coin toss whether or not your first round pick actually will be playing in 4, 5, 6 years. So if you know that going in, get multiple picks because you know you're going to miss on some of these guys, which is why it's about going out and getting a bunch of picks so that way you hit on more guys than you miss on. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. I feel very, very passionate about this stuff. I see those mock drafts, and I just think some of them are ridiculous. And I don't know how you're paying. And listen, I love Mel Kiper. I think when he's breaking down film and how a player fits into a roster, he's brilliant. Like, I love watching him during the draft. But these mock drafts are just absolutely insane. And if you're honestly, I think it's an asinine decision to tell a guy you're paying to do mock drafts that, hey, you can't include trades in this thing. Like, that's ridiculous. That's nuts. Okay, listen, full press coverage. We are looking for contributors. Whether you're an editor, writer, or podcast, we've got an opportunity for you. Visit fullpresscoverage.com/employment for more info. And be sure to visit our friends over at sportscaster.com and bookmark the official full press coverage page. That is Sportscaster, sportscaster.com/full press coverage for great video content like FPC Radio Live. I was listening to it on Monday morning. And Pardon the Puck. Make sure you go visit them. And then lastly, again, if you're driving, pull over. Right now, pull over. Side of the road. Put your hazards on. And while you're pulled over, download the Full Press Coverage app onto your phone. You can listen to all these podcasts, read all these great articles. FPC Radio Live is on there. It's a great app to have. I use it frequently. Thank you all for making us a part of your weekend. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Have a good one.